One verse in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 20 to me. So that will actually be our passage this morning. We'll look at a few other verses probably, but verse 20 says, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living." Because she was the mother of all living. Her name really translates in a sense to the word for life. She is the one who Adam named. Now, as far as I recall, God named Adam, but God allowed Adam to name Eve. And he named her that, life, because she was the mother of all living. Now, pretty often, a real simple rule of thumb for interpreting Scripture is to let it say what it says. Now, needless to say, there's some things that that certainly require some more study and revelation, but the Scripture says, and Moses wrote under inspiration of God, since Moses wasn't there, God was, that Adam called his wife Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Now, you know, a lot of people try to sort of change things and have a different explanation about how people filled the earth and who married who and how, you know, trying to figure all that out. But it's simple enough to me that God inspired Moses, as I said, to write that Adam called Eve the mother of all living. And that's what he meant. How that all worked out, I'm not real sure. They lived a long time. They had a lot of children. And as I studied this, to my surprise, Josephus, now we're not told of her having more than just three sons in the Scripture, but you recall that a lot of the times God doesn't tell us everything when he tells us something in the Scripture. He just tells us what he needs to know, what we need to know to make his point. But Josephus, get back to him, Josephus, who was a Jewish historian in Christ's time, in the time of the early church, through his Jewishness, through what was passed down to him, it didn't say where he got it from, but in his writings, he said that Eve had a lot of children. The best I recall, about 33 girls and over 20 boys. Imagine that, moms. I guess when you live that long. And of course, you've got to remember, their bodies had not suffered the effects of sin, and the world's suffering the effects of sin, like all the generations thereafter. But anyway, I said I'm not going to try to explain all that or even present that as a biblical truth, because it was just something that happened to be in Josephus's Jewish historical writings. But the point is, she was the first woman. She was the first wife. And she was also the first mother. She gave birth to the first child. She had a son. His name was Cain. And of course, you know the story. She had another son. His name was Abel. And later on in their adulthood, Cain murdered Abel. And, I mean, they were adults. They had already developed their careers, their professions. Abel was a farmer and Cain was a herdsman. But at some point after that, Cain, in his jealousy and his self-righteousness and anger, because God had respect to Abel's worship, who had not offered his self-righteousness but the blood of a lamb, Cain slew Abel. And Sarah, not Sarah, where did Sarah come from? Eve had another son. So at least that much time had passed, and probably some children in between, but she had another son, and that son, of course, she called Seth. And she said, God has granted me another child in place of Abel since Cain killed him. The word for child is the same word as offspring. And that's really important, and we'll see why in a few minutes. But she was the first mother. She is the mother of all living. Adam came from the ground. In fact, Adam's name means the ground. And part of Adam's curse, as you recall. In verse 19 of chapter 3, God speaks to him because he had sinned, because he had not obeyed God. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and into dust you shall return. But Eve's name means life, and she wasn't taken out of the ground. She was taken out of Adam. She was taken out of Adam. She was the first mother, the mother of all living. She was the mother of all physical living. Every human that's ever been born ultimately came from Eve. They are descendants of Eve. Now that's a big deal, and that's an important thing because it communicates to us that God only created one race, and it's the human race. They may look different, they may live in different places, they may have different cultures and different backgrounds, but they're still just human. They're still, as Paul said when we read our communion scripture, sinners, and still in need of a Savior. Raising kids isn't an easy thing. If all of us husbands and dads would be honest, we would have to admit that most of the raising takes place by mom. I read about a little girl, 4 or 5, sitting at the bar while her mom, in the kitchen, while her mom was fixing breakfast one day, and she noticed a few gray hairs or white hairs in her head. She said, Mom, why are some of your hairs white? She said, well, because every time that you don't do what I tell you and you make me sad and you make me cry, my hair turns white. And she thought, a few minutes, like they do, sitting in silence. Then she piped up, Mom, why is all of Grandma's hair is white? Being mom's not easy. Wasn't easy for Eve. But she didn't turn it down. She didn't get angry and quit. She kept being mom. She kept bearing children. She was also the mother of all spiritually living. She was the mother of all spiritually living. Now that's important. If you read what God said in his response to their sin as he spoke these curses before he drove them out of the garden, when he was speaking to the serpent who had deceived Eve, and that's what Eve had said. She said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. She submitted to his temptation. And God says to him in verse 13, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed or your offspring and her offspring, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heal. And God speaking to Eve, even in dealing with their sin and rebellion, begins at the very beginning of the entrance of sin to express that he was not taken by surprise, but that he was prepared and he had already determined that Eve's offspring, and he doesn't say Adam's, because Jesus was not Adam's offspring. He was Eve's offspring. Mary was his mother, but Joseph was not his father. God had a solution. And through Mary, the mother of all living, he foretells even at the beginning that through her he will bring and even make her, if you might say, the mother of all spiritual living. For through her offspring, Jesus Christ, eternal life would be given to all who would believe. It's not easy being mom, for sure, but it's important. Eve played extremely important place in God's plan of redemption. For she was not only the mother of the physically living and the mother of the spiritually living, she, as I said, was the mother of Christ the Savior. She is the mother of Christ the Savior. She was the mother of the one who would defeat Satan. The one who had slithered into the garden and spoken and misrepresented what God had said and deceived and tempted and brought about this fall, because God chooses the way of free will, the way of giving us a free choice, but not one that will reign ultimately, but one that he will use by his grace as those who choose Christ, the woman's offspring, to bring about their salvation. Mom is important. The enemy despises motherhood. In fact, in Revelation chapter 12, the scripture says, as soon as I can get there, chapter 12 of Revelation, verse 17. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That was what God said. That's what the cross was all about. That was the enemy bruising his heel. But that was also the place where Christ was bruised for our iniquities, as the scripture says. But there he crushed the head of the serpent. And it's the offspring of the woman that God prophesied would prevail. That she, how can I say it? She kept her faith. Though they were driven out of the garden, she didn't, as I said, quit. She didn't get angry. She didn't resign from being mom. She continued to bear. She continued to have faith. She continued to pursue on, to fulfill what God had promised. In Romans chapter 5, the scripture says, speaking of her offspring, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, And thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Now, obviously, he's not talking about Christ there. He's talking about Adam. But Christ, her offspring, referred to by Paul in another place as the second Adam, was the one who would bring the redemption, the reconciliation, the salvation. So Paul goes on to say in chapter 6 of Romans in verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. That's what came through Adam and his sin. That's why he returned to the ground. And that's what death is. It's being separated, body and spirit. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That gift is offered to everyone. And I appreciate that we give gifts on Mother's Day, and we certainly should. But they in themselves, recognizing women and motherhood and its place and part in God's plan, point us to the gift of God, which Eve, in a sense, was the mother of. The gift of God, which is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is no greater gift given than eternal life. Life. What Eve was about, the mother of all living. Life, the gift of God, given through her offspring, Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what motherhood is to point us to the heart of God, the heart that never ceases loving, the heart that offers forgiveness, mercy, and grace, the heart that desires life, life for all the human race, for every person, whoever they are, wherever they are, whatever they've done, they are offered this gift. And as we celebrate our mothers and the fact that they gave us life, let us pray for our nation and for the opportunity that we have in this nation to see life sanctified again and protected, which I believe we are on the verge of seeing. But this morning, let us rejoice in the greatest gift, not just what our mothers gave us in life, but the gift of eternal life that our Heavenly Father offers us in the offspring of the woman, Christ Jesus, our Lord.